Please join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. For a number of weeks, I've been getting occasional informal lessons about inflation and interest rates from our member, who is a university economics professor, and from a friend of mine, who is president and chief executive officer of one of our local banks. So this past week, I was amused as I prepared to preach on today's gospel reading, since Jesus' parable in the gospel reading is one of only two times that the New Testament specifically mentions making interest by investing money with bankers. And it is said to be Jesus' praising faithful businessmen. In some ways, we all can relate to the so-called parable of the talents. And this morning, we want to let the parable and its economics help us realize that in the end, the Lord welcomes good and faithful servants into his joys. Last Sunday, we heard the first of the three parables from Matthew's chapter 25 that are appropriate for these last Sundays of the church year. And today, we heard the second of those three. Last Sunday's so-called parable of the 10 virgins warned us against being unprepared for the bridegroom, our Lord's seemingly delayed final coming. It promised us that those who were prepared would go in with him to the marriage feast. And it concluded by exhorting us to watch, for we know neither the day nor the hour of that final coming. Echoing statements from even earlier in St. Matthew's divinely inspired account, today's parable of the talents seems to elaborate on what that watching includes, namely, our faithfully working with what God gives us until his final coming. In today's parable of the talents, Jesus describes two good and faithful servants to whom the man going on a journey respectively entrusted, according to their ability, 5 talents and 2 talents, with each talent equivalent to several thousands of times the average worker's daily wage. In sharp contrast to those two good and faithful servants, is the wicked and slothful servant, worthless servant, to whom the man going on a journey entrusted 1 talent, still a sizable amount of money. The good and faithful servants worked and doubled the money, but the wicked and slothful, worthless servant hid it, apparently for safekeeping. After a long time, the servant's master came and settled accounts with them, welcoming the good and faithful servants into his joys, but casting the wicked and slothful, worthless servant into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. When it comes to spiritual matters, you and I have no ability. Apart from faith in Jesus Christ, all of us by nature are like the wicked and slothful, worthless servant. To the extent we do anything that might appear to be good, we do it not out of faith, but out of fear, maybe even blaming a God that we misperceive as cruel, demanding, or violent. Even those of us who believe may still hesitate to put to work what God has given us during our earthly lives, neglecting the responsibility that the righteous should display in the face of God's judgment. For our sinful natures and our actual sins, we deserve, like the wicked, slothful, worthless servant, to be cast into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Like the people in the Old Testament reading, some today wrongly may think that the Lord will not do good or ill. In fact, in his time, the Lord will do something spectacular. He will punish and remove all evil. The gospel reading, settling of accounts, also points to that time of reckoning. And before it comes, God continues to call all of us to repentance and faith so that he can make us good and faithful servants and so welcome us into his joys. Although the Bible elsewhere speaks of God's assigning us measures of faith and of our having gifts that differ according to the grace he has given us, and although today's gospel reading speaks of giving different numbers of talents according to different abilities, of all the things that God gives us, he equally offers to all the greatest thing, namely the forgiveness of sins by grace through faith in the God-man Jesus Christ, crucified on the cross and risen from the grave for the sins of the whole world, including your sins and mine. When enabled by God, we repent of our sin and trust God to forgive our sin for Jesus' sake, then God does forgive our sin, all our sin, whatever our sin might be. God not only forgives us our sin, but thereby he also gives us life and salvation. In the words of the parable, God makes us who are by nature wicked servants, good servants. God makes us who are by nature are slothful servants, faithful servants. God does all of that enabling, forgiving, and transforming through his word. His word read and preached, administered with water, with the words and touch of our pastor, and with bread and wine. We are adopted as his children in holy baptism. We are returned, as it were, to our baptismal grace, by individual holy absolution. And we are strengthened and preserved in body and soul by the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, in with and under bread and wine in the sacrament of the altar. In all of these ways, forgiveness of sins, life and salvation are already our possessions here and now. Even amid the suffering and sorrows of the world, in here and now, we do already have, though we do not yet fully appreciate, the equally offered joys of our Master, our Lord. To be sure, when he comes the final time, he will give more to everyone who has. We might think, for example, of the resurrection of the body and of the fullness of his wedding feast. And so we all will have an abundance. We can count on God's superabundant generosity. As St. Paul wrote by divine inspiration to the Romans, God, who did not spare his own son, but graciously gave him up for us all, will also with him graciously give us all things. Until our Lord's final coming, we watch for that final coming, in part by living as good and faithful servants. In Christ, God has made us good, excellent in our positions. And with Christ working in us, we are faithful. We are saved from sin entirely by his doing. And then we cooperate with him in the holy living that results. Together, we do well. The good works, temporal and spiritual, that we do according to our God-given vocations are evidence of the faith that God has given us as us being active in us. In the words of today's epistle reading, we live as children of the light. When we fail to so live, we will fail, then with daily repentance and faith, we live in the forgiveness of sins that we receive from him. And in turn, we forgive those who sin against us. No doubt there is plenty more that each one of us could learn about inflation and interest rates and other such matters of economics. If I sort through my particular lessons soon enough, I might get the newspaper column I've been considering written and published this week, while it's timely with today's gospel reading. But far more importantly, in that gospel reading and the whole of Holy Scriptures, the Lord has revealed to us all that we need to know about both his final coming and our lives in the meantime. It has been said that there is no higher commendation that can come to us from the lips of Jesus than his judgment on the works that we have carried out in him, as spoken in this parable. Well done. This morning we have realized that out of his love, mercy, and grace for the sake of Jesus Christ, the Lord welcomes good and faithful servants into his joys. May God grant that in due time he so welcomes each one of us. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.